Well, Preston, Mary, the group that had been inside, about 10 to 15 people, has since been cleared out within just the last few hours. And now Tacoma police are essentially keeping an eye on the school to make sure they don't come back. It's unclear just how long they're going to stay out here. As for this building, this is a live look at it right now. We're told it is falling apart, that it is ridden with asbestos, that parts of the roof are collapsing, and that it is just not safe for people to be inside. But that group says it's better than being out in the streets and out in the cold.
Today we're talking with Rebecca Parson from Tacoma Housing Now and Irene Morrison from Food Not Bombs Tacoma. And Rebecca, would you like to tell us about a little bit about the history of Tacoma Housing Now?
Yeah, Tacoma Housing Now is a coalition of organizers and different community groups who came together to take action on homelessness in our city because the city is totally failing at it. We've seen stuff like 4 deaths in the last few weeks of houseless people, one of whom was a senior named Tommy Hutchinson in his 60s. He died of exposure in his wheelchair. So every night that the city fails to take action is another night that more houseless people on the streets could die. And we're short shelter beds, we're short housing, extremely low income housing. So we decided to take action. And a little over a week ago, we took Galt Middle School, which had been empty for 11 years, took it for emergency pandemic housing to house an encampment of people who were sleeping on the tide flats. The Tacoma police came and threatened us with felonies. They even though we were there all day, they waited until after it was dark to come, threaten us with felonies, 20 cops in hazmat suits. So we left peacefully. And now the residents are back on the tide flats, sleeping under a bridge, and the problem has not been solved. So we're only getting started.
So is this a new problem? I mean, the city seems totally unprepared.
It's an old problem. The city, every winter, they act like it's a surprise that winter is coming and it's going to get cold again. And then they scramble to do something about it. And they've been doing this for a century or longer because during the Great Depression and through the end of World War II, Tacoma had a really big Hooverville on the tide flats. And Hoovervilles were encampments of houseless people who couldn't afford housing because of the Great Depression. And they were named Hoovervilles because President Hoover had failed in preventing that from happening. And that spot on the tide flats where the Hooverville was is the same spot where the camp that we helped move is sleeping. They're actually camping on top of where the Hooverville was. And when they dig into the ground, they turn up stuff from that time, including a 1930s glass Lysol bottle. And so it's really emblematic of how terrible our system is at solving the housing problem. Our profit-driven, capital-driven housing system has been failing people since the Great Depression and earlier, all the way up till now, to the point that people are actually sleeping on the site of the Hooverville. It's a new Hooverville on top of the old Hooverville. And the city of Tacoma tried to get rid of the Hooverville. The fire department went in and burned it down, but it just came right back up because people had nowhere else to go. And you can see parallels in what's happening today, where the police just chase houseless people all over the city. And the thinking seems to be, if we just make their lives miserable enough and keep chasing them around enough so they can never be at peace, then maybe they'll just leave or disappear or cease to exist, and then they won't be our problem anymore.
That's pretty heartless. So what about all the shelters and the tiny houses that the city is building? Why don't people just go to the shelters?
Well, the shelter spaces are always lacking. They're never enough. But this year it's even worse because they don't have the same capacity, because to maintain social distancing, you need to have more space between people, which means you can fit fewer people into the shelters. The city estimates that we're short 400 shelter beds, but it's probably much more than that. So the shelter thing is really not an option. And also, as a group, as Tacoma Housing Now, our primary demand is a community land trust. We can talk about what that is in a little bit. But a community land trust to put property that the city owns into that land trust so that it's owned by the community and provides permanent, long-term, extremely low-income housing. And so what we're asking for is long-term housing not what the city is doing right now, which is a shelter bed for one night. And actually, Irene, who we have on, they're much more familiar with the cold weather shelter and some of the flaws with that. I don't know if you wanted to chime in, Irene.
Okay. So the cold weather shelter originally opened with 40 beds, and it has since, after our action, only expanded to 50 beds. It is already full. There is no access to showers even at that shelter. And it is only slated to be open right now until December 31st. And last I checked in the city of Tacoma, the weather doesn't magically get better on December 31st.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
It also is not something that works for a lot of our folks who have stuff, and they have to leave their stuff behind if they're willing to go to a shelter. So a lot of people choose not to go just because they would potentially lose everything if they went and be worse off when the shelter closed or if the shelter was full.
I keep hearing about all the budget problems. Are there resources that the city is not currently using?
Well, they are. There is CARES Act money that I've been told has not been spent, but really this dovetails with a demand that other organizations like Tacoma DSA have been making around defunding the police. If you were to fire the police officers involved in the killing of Manny Ellis, you would have about $500,000. Do you have any idea how far that could go towards housing people? That's a lot of money. But we need to defund the police by even more than that too. And the money is there. It's just a matter of where it's going.
Mm-hmm. So rather than paying police to chase homeless people around, you'd rather have it see going to actually get housing people.
Yeah. And think about how much it must have cost for them to evict us from the middle school that night. You could have housed everyone who was in that middle school for about a year was my estimate there.
Right. Rebecca, can you tell us more about how a community land trust would work?
Yeah, a community land trust is a really exciting housing model where you have property and buildings on the property that belong to this nonprofit entity, the community land trust, and then you have a board for that, and our primary demand is a community land trust, and we are adamant that it have community members on it. We do not want a community land trust that has real estate agents and bankers and mortgage brokers on the community land trust, because it's very easy to get co-opted that way. We wanted to support the community. So we want, you know, formerly houseless people, members of the community, people who are really passionate about this on the board, and then structure it in a way so that the housing stays permanently attainable in permanently, you know, extremely low income housing. And there are lots of different details about how you can work it out. For example, there's one on Bainbridge where they had a bunch of land, and I think they built some duplexes on it, and then people could buy the duplexes. But in the deed they sign, there's rules that when they sell it, whenever that is in the future, they can only sell it for a certain amount. And so by a certain percentage increase, which is much smaller than the rate of housing increase, the rate that housing is increasing on Bainbridge Island right now. And so that means that it'll permanently stay affordable. What we're looking at is more in a lower income range, you know, not people who have money to buy homes because they don't have any money at all. And that's where the city is really failing right now. They've really tried this top-down approach, like, hey, if we give tax breaks to real estate developers to build luxury housing, then somehow magically other housing will pop up and be affordable for houseless people. And well, hey, if we put in ADUs and tiny houses, then suddenly there'll be enough housing. Well, fine, ADUs, which is an accessory dwelling unit, like a mother-in-law unit in your backyard, that's good. It's good to increase density. It's good if somebody who makes like $40,000 to $50,000 now has something they can afford. Of course, that's a good thing. But if you are making $0, you still can't afford that ADU. And a tiny home is also not a solution. Like the village of 40 tiny homes, they don't have laundry facilities, kitchens, or showers. And so if we're trying to get people to shelter in place to stay safe from COVID, yet they have to go to Burger King to use the bathroom to brush their teeth, then we're kind of defeating the purpose there. And it's also just, I mean, think about anybody listening to this, like, would you want to live in a house the size of like your bathroom or your kitchen or like a very large closet? You know, if you just think about it in that way, it's really not a long-term solution, especially for families with kids.
Well, as I understand it, the tiny house village is still just transitional housing. It's only temporary housing.
Yeah.
It's not permanent. Yeah.
It's also basically voluntary jail with 24-hour surveillance, mandatory background checks. This is just not something that most of the folks who are sleeping outside that we serve are going to have any interest in. And right. I wouldn't want to live in a place where I couldn't bring alcohol. So that's totally mm-hmm. fair. Why do we expect, we really infantilize houseless folks and, treat them like they need a lot of rules in order to be humans instead of treating them like humans who deserve housing. And I think that we are meeting with the mayor sometime this week to discuss the community land trust. And that is hopefully going to be a central message that these folks are refugees of capitalism. They're people who have been left basically to die outside. And a lot of people who are currently housed are housing unstable, especially considering that the eviction moratorium is set to expire soon. And some people are just a few paychecks away from being out on the street. So we need to stop this before it gets even worse.
Well, from what I understand, and I'm no expert, but from what I understand, people are houseless all over the country. And they're houseless for many of the same reasons all over the country, but it is extreme on the coast because housing is simply more expensive and unaffordable on the coast. So having a land trust would solve that problem. Once you take the profit motive out of it, it makes it a lot more available for people to use rather than to use for profit, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it takes housing like out of the capitalist model. Like, no, the housing is no longer for enriching absentee investors and real estate developers. It's for housing people. And I think that's something that's really been lost. And then people, often it doesn't even occur to a lot of people. The purpose of a home is to home people, not to make money. And so that's what we're doing with the Community Land Trust is housing people, putting them in a home that's helping them be in a home that's long-term. And as a Community Land Trust, we can decide the terms so that it stays permanently extremely low-income housing. And one point Irene made as well, I think is really important for people to think about, is we do really infantilize houseless people. And mm-hmm. We like to think that we've progressed so much beyond the Victorian era, but what would you call it when you put houseless people under 24/7 surveillance, won't even let them drink if they're legally of the age to drink? I mean, that's basically like Miss Marple's School for Wayward Girls, except like grown adults. And it's really it's very patronizing.
Yeah, I remember when I lived in California, there was a congressman who wanted to actually make a home for unwed mothers. And it went pretty far in the legislature until somebody said, well, that's okay so long as we include unwed fathers. And then it died right then. But let's say that you were allowed to keep the Galt, or not you, but I mean, the organization was allowed to keep the Galt School. How would you manage to repair it? How would you manage to make it livable?
Do you want to take that, Irene?
Yeah, sure. This comes back once again to the fact that the city of Tacoma is really criminally negligent when it comes to housing folks. They have a lot of money that is being put towards the police, who are basically part, of the largest gang in America. And we need to fund programs that actually help people and keep them alive, not the people who murdered Manny Ellis. There is money in the city budget, and there has been a movement. If you go to the last several city council meetings, you'll see there's been a movement of people who have been saying this. This is not a new idea to city council, or more importantly, to our city manager, who actually wields all the power. City Manager Polly. Part of the problem is she's not democratically elected and doesn't have to answer to constituents. So she is our main target for when it comes to, you need to give us a land trust now.
So, but do you have skilled workers that could work on?
Oh, totally. The day of, we had electricians on site. We had other construction workers and carpenters who were hoping to do some restoration. We understand that there is asbestos and mold concerns in that building. So, you know what? That's fine, City of Tacoma. There are other properties and other buildings that you could give us that we could use to make housing for the houseless. There are other transitional things that can be done immediately that really, we need to spend money on saving lives. You know, the City of Seattle has basically, if you look in the Seattle Times, you'll see a lot of articles coming out about new models for housing versus shelter and new plans. A lot of folks are off the streets in Seattle because they have been given hotel rooms. Why can't you give people hotel rooms right now? And also, incidentally, that's a quick solution to saving some smaller businesses and even larger businesses in the City of Tacoma, is paying hotels, right, to house people.
You can bring a lot of, you don't have to walk outside to go to the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
If I'm understanding this right, this is almost like a Habitat for Humanity type model, where the residents have the property and they can work on improving it themselves.
Rebecca, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, that could be part of it. With a building like Galt Middle School, you know, we're bringing in people, like the residents have a lot of skills themselves. And some are former construction workers or currently working construction. We had licensed electricians, like Irene said. And so part of that is the residents working to improve it. But there's also lots of city-owned, publicly owned property that's in good condition that wouldn't really require that kind of Habitat for Humanity model. And I think that's something else that's extremely short-sighted of the city, is that they pour millions of dollars into things like creating 40 tiny homes without plumbing, yet we have all of this already existing housing that is publicly owned, meaning it's owned by us, the public, and they're not using it. So why are they pouring millions of dollars into transitional housing that is not a long-term solution, instead of just taking housing that already exists and letting people live there? So yeah, that's the thing. Within our primary demand, like we said, is the community land trust, and not just one building, not just, you know, our demand was never just Galt Middle School. It was Galt Middle School and as many properties, publicly owned properties as are necessary to completely end homelessness in Tacoma, because it's very doable.
Why does the city own properties?
Well, with some of them, they own, there are some properties that if a property owner doesn't pay their property taxes for a few years, the city will take it and auction it off. So the city owns property that way. Some of it is property that has just been empty for a long time for whatever reason. They haven't done anything with it. Some of it is owned by the school district, like Galt Middle School, and they never did anything with it. And the school district, the Tacoma Housing Authority, and the city had been talking for 11 years about doing something with that building, everything from housing to a culinary institute to a community center, and never done anything. And I think a lot of the reason this empty housing is there is just total bureaucratic inertia. You know, without anybody pushing them to do something, it just won't happen.
Right. Yeah.
But we are part of a national movement, right? Philly has done this. Oakland Moms for Housing have done this. Folks in LA took some homes from Caltrans that had been vacant for decades. Like this really is a national movement, and the city is going to have to take note and start figuring this out. Or they're going to get left behind.
Yeah, and more people will die.
Yes, there are people dying regularly, weekly out there. We may not always know about them, but our medics at Food Not Bombs Tacoma found one of them a couple of weeks ago, as Rebecca mentioned. And we not one more death is acceptable to us. We do not want to find one single more person.
Did you want to talk at all about Food Not Bombs and what kind of activities you've been doing?
Sure. The two primary things we do is distribute food and hygiene supplies, winter gear, clothes, things like that. But we also have a medical collective that has a physician, a couple of street medics, and folks who have EMT training who do rounds. There are a lot of things that are beyond their scope. So sometimes we help folks with getting to the hospital and things like that.
When I visited the 509 camp, I was very impressed with what they've been doing. They repair old bicycles so that everyone has transportation. They had a generator to provide electricity temporarily. And my feeling was that a lot more could be done, except that it's hard to think about adding to that camp if it's just going to be bulldozed.
Yeah, it's been bulldozed twice already in the last few months, and they've had to move. Basically, like Rebecca said, they get chased around by various jurisdictions down there because it's more than just the city of Tacoma down there. It's really cruel and inhumane.
Yeah, they're really not asking for anything other than to be left alone, mostly, from what I understand.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of the people there get up in the morning and go to work, even though it's very difficult without showers or transportation or anything else. And
to that point, the CDC guidelines during COVID have stated that cities should provide hand washing stations and other hygienic things like portable bathrooms and showers to camps in order to prevent the spread of COVID. And there's none of that. Even in the hilltop camps, the ones that are in the city of Tacoma proper, the city has done none of that. I really think that we should be having a conversation about how utterly negligent the city of Tacoma has been.
Yeah. Well, I know there was a day last week when there were 400 new cases of COVID in Pierce County, just in one day. I haven't checked the statistics for the past couple of days, but I know it's increasing dramatically. And so really, this is not charity. This is a benefit for the entire community to help have people housed, have people healthy. I can't get around, you know, that this is not charity. This is the way a community should be run, right? I mean,
absolutely. The charity model is, you know, to just drop off food once a week.
Yeah.
That's not at all what we are about. We are about permanent housing, and this is a community, especially at 509, who has community meetings. They look after each other. They share resources like firewood. They are refugees of capitalism who all they have is each other. And we feel a responsibility to try to keep them together and try to keep that community alive.
Right. If you separate these people, it's like emptying their bank accounts.
Yeah. They've lived together for years and years.
Yeah.
I also wanted to add, you know, with the nonprofit charity model, it's self-perpetuating because let's say you have a nonprofit that provides services and, you know, services are better than not having services, but for them to keep getting grants and keep paying their employees, they need to have a consistent supply of people who need services, aka they need homeless people. And so they need homelessness to continue existing, to continue getting grants, to continue paying their employees. And I think that that's just an inherent contradiction in the model, and that no matter how well the people at the nonprofit mean, you know, almost all of them, I'm sure, are very well-meaning, but it's a contradiction inherent in the model. If homelessness ceased to exist, they would all be out of jobs and they would not be getting grants anymore. What we want to do is completely eliminate homelessness in Tacoma, so nobody ever has to go, get services. Nobody has to go spend one night in a shelter and then get kicked out at 6 a.m. and spend the entire day in the cold again until they're allowed to go back in at 8 p.m. That's what we're really looking to do in a city with this many homes, this many resources, this many people who care about the issue. It's absolutely doable. And like Irene mentioned, it's a nationwide movement. And in Philly, they got their housing authority there to put 50 homes into their land trust. And so now they have 50 homes that will be extremely low income housing forever. And that's really exciting in what we're aiming to do.
The level of inequality that's going on right now, it just as someone, as a taxpayer, I really resent giving money, tax money to people to pay their landlords so that landlords can charge higher rents than they would otherwise. I mean, mm-hmm. It actually seems like it increases costs, doesn't it? I mean, if it was just removed from that model, the capitalist model entirely, it would make much more sense. It would be more cost effective. But right now, so much of our assistance money goes through these corporations that pay their management and their workers, and that all adds to the costs.
Yeah, we also see in this nonprofit model a lot of really well-meaning people who get paid nothing and worked to the bone and burn out really quickly. Social workers don't last very long because their hearts are really taken advantage of, for example.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mean to make it sound like they're being, greedy or something. I just think that if just giving people money directly makes more sense than funneling it through a bureaucracy that has people jumping through hoops and making things complicated and doing a lot of paperwork when in reality, all they need is money or a place to live or, there's a landlord liaison project, and what that does is it pre-screens people who need homes and has them go through complete courses so that they're worthy to rent from landlords, and the landlord doesn't have to advertise, doesn't have to find anybody, doesn't have to do a background check because it's all done for them. But the tenant has to go through, prove their worthiness ahead of time. And it just seems like a ridiculous waste of money to me.
It's also very patronizing. Like, oh, I need to go through your financial literacy program to have the honor of paying you rent every month. Like, give me a break.
Really? I mean, most poor people I know are really good with money. I mean, they know exactly how much is in their bank account. They know exactly how much things cost, and they can stretch a dollar much better than I can, actually.
I'd like to add that in my limited experience with dealing with folks in the nonprofit industry in the city of Tacoma, I have seen the infantilizing and the things that I've heard from people in this industry about their perspective on houseless people. Really, especially those corporate funded nonprofits, we want them as far away from this effort as humanly possible. There are some people who simply do not belong drawing a paycheck on other people's suffering.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So what are some of the myths about the unhoused?
Let's see, some myths. They're all alcoholics who live under a bridge and don't care about their hygiene. They don't work. They're bums. They're lazy. All this stuff is just a joke. It's very, very harmful stereotypes. The truth is, first of all, not everybody who's houseless is somebody you would look at and immediately think this person is houseless, because houselessness includes doubling up with friends. Which is more dangerous during the pandemic. It also includes living in your car. People go to jobs while being houseless and nobody knows because they try to keep it a secret. And then people who are living on the streets, they can range anywhere. They could be children up to seniors. They could be alcoholics or addicts, or they could not be. And something else that needs to be considered and that people really need to be reminded of is that addiction is not a moral failing. It's a disease. And would you heap shame on a cancer patient for having recurring cancer? No, it's a disease. They need treatment. It's the same thing with addicts and alcoholics. If they want and seek treatment, they should be able to get it. And that's hugely lacking in our city right now. There's only, in fact, one facility that does detox from alcohol, and that takes Apple Health, which is Medicaid. And so you can die if you detox by yourself and just go cold turkey. So there really aren't enough options. And another stereotype is, you know, lack of hygiene and that they just don't care about it. But actually, many houseless people try very hard to maintain, you know, cleanliness and hygiene and keep their camp in order. But it's very difficult when you don't have access to a shower. At times during the pandemic, laundromats have been closed. And then also, there's no trash. Like, that's one request that's been made again and again of the city. Like, where do you put the trash if there's no dumpster, there's no trash can, there's no garbage mm-hmm. pickup? So that's some of these stereotypes that are really harmful. But do you have anything else, Irene?
Yeah, the biggest myth that I want to see die right now is that houseless people, some of them want to live outside. I mean, maybe 1 in 100 houseless folks actually wants to live outside. And I think that's so toxic and destructive, and kind of a way of excusing people who turn a blind eye and who just want to look past houseless folks is the assumption that they got there because they made bad personal choices. I've made some bad personal choices in my life too. I still deserve housing.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And another thing to consider is that how many of us are just one paycheck away from not being able to pay our rent or mortgage, and we're living month to month, one sickness away. And the pandemic has made that abundantly clear. And I think part of the reason people hate the homeless so much is because they remind us that we could be them. And we are very close, many of us, to being houseless at any time.
Yeah. I hope this adds to people's understandings. I would like to know how people can get involved, what type of things they should be doing.
Well, if this is coming out in time, tomorrow, Tuesday, December 1st, we have a town hall where we're going to craft our message to the mayor around getting the community land trust going. And Rebecca, do you want to add other upcoming events?
Yeah, it would be great if people came to that. And if you want more information, people can go to tachousing.org. That's tachousing.org. And we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all with the same handle, tachousing, tachousing on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow us there. That's the best way to get action updates. You'll also find information at those places about how to get on our text alert list. So when we have something coming up, we'll text you and let you know about it.
Well, thank you very much. I'll try and get this out as soon as possible. If this comes out too late, or well, we'll probably rerun this multiple times. But if they can't make it to tomorrow's meeting, then they can still get involved by following you on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, we are not going anywhere. This is just the beginning of a movement, and we are not going to stop until everyone is housed.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for the work you've already done, and I will let you guys get on with your day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Malika.
All right. Bye-bye.
Tacoma Housing Now! Is demanding that the city turn over the school and other old vacant buildings to a community land trust to then be turned into housing. There was a plan in place to renovate this school for low-income housing, but the pandemic essentially ate up those funds. Now, back out here live, as for that group, they say they will continue this fight and that the city has failed the homeless population. The building has since been reboarded up. We are told that no arrests were made tonight.